Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, Calvary Church. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts. Let's look at chapter 2, verses 42, and then we're going to jump down to 47. Acts 2:42 says this. All the believers devoted themselves. In other words, they moved from standing by to standing up. They committed themselves, the Bible says, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So the early church committed themselves to meet publicly and from house to house in the church and in the homes. And then the Bible goes on in verse 47 to say, and each day, so as a result of them devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to fellowship and to sharing together, result of that community was that each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So God's power flowed through a group of fully devoted followers of Christ as they came together and met. And although their primary focus was on God and one another and not necessarily church growth, the result was church growth and healthy church growth. Let's take a minute before we jump into today's message and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this series and for the teaching, your word that moves us from the place of standing by and observing to not only being present but participating, to answering the call that's on our lives, to stand up for truth, and to stand up in this generation loving those around us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, welcome today to C Group Sunday and episode 3 of our new September series called The Bystander Effect. Now, at the end of today's service, I want to encourage you to take a step in keeping with this series as we move from standing by to standing up when it comes to C groups, our Calvary groups here at the church. I want to encourage you on the way out, if you're here in person today, stop by the booth on the way out to get some information, talk to one of our leaders, and discover all the new groups that are available, the existing groups that meet both at homes and here at the church. And if you're online watching the broadcast, just go to calvary.ca, click on C groups, and you'll find all the updated information for the new small groups that are available. Today, all of our Calvary groups are restarting for the new season, so we're excited about that. So I want to encourage, can I encourage you to participate, to jump in, to move from standing by to standing up, and try out a small group this fall. I think Sundays are an amazing time for us to worship, spend time in God's Word, and to celebrate Jesus, but our C groups throughout the week, our weekly small groups, that's where we grow in relationship with one another. We grow in our faith, and we grow in our purpose as disciples of Christ. And I guarantee you, give it a few months, and you will be stronger in your faith as you grow in community with other people that are moving in the same direction as you are, walking in God's ordered steps. Again, just to echo the beginning of this series, I believe that Jesus has called all of us to one another better, whether it's serving one another, encouraging one another, loving one another, or forgiving one another. These are all the one another's that were challenged with his strength to walk in with more effectiveness, to follow his lead, to live as he did. This morning, I want to talk to you about loving one another as it relates to the bystander effect and how that affects us today within the church. So research shows that the greater number of people present, the less likely people are to act. Everybody else is thinking the same thing. Somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to act. Somebody else is going to serve or get involved. We've got many people that are present but not participating. That is the bystander effect. Helen Keller once said, "Alone we can do little. Together we can do much." That's the power of together. of authentic community. And genuine biblical community is where you can serve in love alongside of other people and not be a bystander. It's actually a safe place where you can share your greatest accomplishments and joys, but also as you grow in trust in those relationships, you can share your greatest struggles and even your failures. This is where God uses other people in our lives to help us grow, where we can get real and grow. And you do have to get real in order to do that. It's where we can show up in one another's life for all the highs and even all the lows. It's about knowing and being known. It's pursuing God and growing into the best possible version of yourself as God intended and designed you to be. It's about fighting the good fight and helping others around us stand up and fight as well. That's true church community. Now, with that in mind, I want to take just a moment and speak to the evil that the world has recently witnessed in real time. I strongly believe, as children of the light, that we should never celebrate the darkness of someone senselessly taking the life of another human being. It's a dark day. And the violent loss of Charlie Kirk's life has stirred up a lot of people. It's kind of sent shockwaves through friend groups and has people stirred up. It's created a lot of fear in some people. But it's also stirred up the faith of other people to move from standing by to standing up and speaking about their faith and sharing what it is they believe. I think this is a significant moment in our history. The truth is, this man may have testified to Christ to more people on college campuses in our generation than anyone alive. Now, you may have heard some things that he said that you didn't agree with, that he said politically, but I want to encourage you to consider his family, consider his faith, the faith that he demonstrated in his belief in his Savior. As a matter of fact, some of Charlie Kirk's last words was to look out at a crowd of hostile, unbelieving college students and say, it's not just intra-biblical evidence, but extra-biblical evidence that Jesus Christ was a real person. He lived a perfect life. He was crucified, died, and rose on the third day, and he is Lord and God over all. So clearly he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He encouraged husbands to love their wives, to fight for families, and to be actively involved in a Bible-believing church, to be a part of a group of people who would love everyone, including those like the one who took his life. You see, the value of community and loving one another while standing firm in the faith is a kingdom principle that we're all called to, regardless of our political bent. So if we want to live the kind of stand-up life that God intended for us while maintaining spiritual, emotional, and mental health, then we need to intentionally commit to connecting to one another as they did in the early church that we just read in Acts chapter 2. You see, the Bible clearly tells us how we're to live and walk out our faith with one another. I need you, you need me. In fact, there are 59 one another verses in the New Testament that tell us how to successfully connect with others. And these passages, they remind us of how much emphasis Scripture places on our obligation as Christ followers to love and to care for one another as those who follow his ordered steps. And we need to do that in order to fully experience and understand his plan for our lives. At the core of everything that we do, every dollar that's spent, every volunteer time, every staff investment, everything that we do at this church is the mission that keeps us on track, loving God, loving people while leading them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's the life that we love, that he's called us to. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together," what we're doing today. We're gathering together in person here in the church. We're gathering together on our online campus, on our broadcast. We're taking time out of our busy weeks, and we're setting aside this time to worship together, to grow in the truth and understanding of His Word. So we're not just called to love one another, but we're also called to motivate one another, to love one another as we meet. Remember what Jesus said would be the proof to the world that we are His disciples. John 13, 35 says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." You see, we practically demonstrate that love as we commit to encourage and pray for one another, as Hebrews tells us. And you know what? Our C groups, our Calvary small groups, are a great place to start and to grow in this area. This is how we develop. Interestingly enough, every metaphor of the church in Scripture is about others. It's about other people. We're the body of Christ with many parts. We've heard that. We're the family of God, related as brothers and sisters, all about others. We are made to be together. And the local church is only as healthy as it one another's well. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another, and then pray for one another to be instantly healed. For tremendous power is released through passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer." That's why we value prayer so much here at Calvary. This month, don't miss our monthly prayer that we gather together. We've changed it to Wednesday nights. It's happening this week. Join us as we come together in the auditorium and we pray together. We believe together. Take some time to commit yourself to that process. We have people online today that, if you need prayer, will agree in prayer with you. At the end of this service and every week, you'll have an opportunity to spend time with our prayer team here at our prayer wall during our service. Again, both here and online, there are people that are here to pray for you. Leave your prayer request with one of our team members. Leave it online. We want to agree with you throughout the week to continue to pray and believe for whatever it is that you're trusting God with. Let's be expecting. Let's be believing that when God intersects with our lives and our challenges, that everything has the possibility to change. And it will. We can't one another well if we're living for ourselves. Not only that, but we'll suffer unnecessarily from the void that godly relationships were designed to fill in our lives. When we're cut off from one another, one anothering gets beyond our reach. It's something we can't attain anymore. The Bible, as you read it, is filled with men and women who face discouragement at an incredibly deep level. So you're not alone. You're not the only ones going through these things. But God built His community of faith, this church, this group of followers that can be there for one another, to be strong for one another through the difficult times and even the times of celebration. And He did this by placing us within us, all, each and every one of us. We all have the kingdom capacity for compassion, to love and encourage one another. In Hebrews again, chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today." So today, while you can do it, pick up the phone, call someone, encourage them, text them, talk to someone after church today. While it's still called today, while you still have that opportunity, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, we have the ability to make a difference in one another's life, because our lives are relational. It's all about connection. But sadly, these are usually the first areas to suffer when we do, We want to hide in the shadows and close the blinds and just distance ourselves from people. Because the enemy knows that if he can isolate you and pull you away from the herd, then you're in danger. God is always wanting to remind us that we have been put here on purpose and with purpose. The primary one being a reflector of his glory and his image to one another. We are his image bearers to this world. And when you go through struggles, you need someone else to come alongside you and remind you that there's hope that's still ahead, that this too will pass. That's what loving one another is all about. So I want to encourage you to seek to treat everyone like they are made in the image of God, worthy of dignity and respect, because they are. The same way God loves you. And honestly, if watching the news constantly is bumming you out, turn it off. Take a break. Open your Bible. Find a balance in your life. Because if all as you're taking in is that reporting on the darkness, then you're driving out the light. Fill yourself with God's word. Fill yourself with the faith and the light that you need so that when faced with the darkness, the light will overcome it. I think a true understanding of his love working through us for one another is the secret sauce to lasting relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 through 8 says, "Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Let me repeat that. Love never fails. Love is the engine that powers our C groups here at Calvary. Great relationships are absolutely possible when you allow God to work in your life. You know why? Because he always loves you. He will always protect you. He will always give you a reason to trust and hope in him. Always. His love for you is sure. It's the foundation that we build our lives upon. As many of you know, Susan and I celebrated 35 years of marriage last month. And she will be the first one to tell you that it hasn't always been perfect. It takes work to make love last. But you know what? I can say with absolute confidence that outside of Christ, she will forever be the great love of my life. And I am committed to continue to learn to love her as Christ loved me, as Christ loves the church. So today, as we prepare ourselves for another week, let me leave you with some things that will help you to make love last. First one is this: a love that lasts is always grounded in commitment. I'm going to tell you right now, there will be days when you don't particularly like the person who's sitting next to you. Things are said, things are done, and whatever love you had for that person, you just might not be feeling it on that particular day. That's pretty normal. But you will never have a great relationship in any area of your life unless you make a commitment to it. That commitment will see you through those times when you don't feel the feelings, right? And we don't always do. The strength found in relationship that lasts, it comes from a love and respect of him that holds all of that in place. He's the glue that keeps it together. So pull closer to him, and as you do, those relationships will improve and they will last. That love will last. Again, it doesn't rely solely on feelings to survive. Second one is this: a love that lasts always celebrates differences. You know, within every church community are people from all walks of life, all nationalities, filled with experiences that are maybe very different from yours or maybe similar to yours. But that's the way that God has designed it. We need to celebrate those differences and not kick against them. That's the strength of our C groups. That's why they say that opposites sometimes attract. So depending on how you view that truth, it can either be a cause for great irritation or great appreciation. Let me give you a pro tip. If you go with the second one, you'll live much longer. You know, we have never needed, I believe, one another more than we do right now. And that's not an easy one to embrace because we don't always like depending on others or being the kind of people that can be depended upon. It requires something of us. It's easy to hear an old classic on the radio driving down the road like Lean on Me and sing along, but it's an entirely different thing to live that truth. The third thing is that a love that lasts works on communication. You know, I didn't know before I got married that every single day after I got married that I would be discussing with my wife the tone of my voice. I wasn't aware that I spoke with so many tones. Apparently, sometimes I must be tone deaf because many times the tone I'm speaking in is the incorrect one. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Man, communication is something that we have to work on all the time. And effective communication in relationships can sometimes be like an active minefield. You know, when I was visiting Israel with a group of pastors, we went to the Golan Heights, and we were speaking with a retired military general who's a Christ follower, and he was telling us about the significance of the area that we're in. And then he pointed over to his right, and there was an open field. And around that field was barbed wire and a fence, and every, I don't know, 10 feet or so, there was a sign with a picture of like an icon of something exploding, and it said, "Danger, live mines." And he said, to this day, not all the mines have been cleared in that area, and every now and then you will hear a massive explosion, and you realize that a cow has wandered into that field and has stepped on one of those landmines, and suddenly there is steak everywhere. It's not pleasant. Sometimes our communication can be like those minefields where we say something and we don't realize its influence until it's out of our mouth. And sometimes it's too late to pull it back. Sometimes we're saying it's we hear ourselves saying it, and then the explosion follows. Listen, when I preach on Sundays, when I work with teams, when I lead our staff, when I counsel, when I talk to my friends, when I talk to my family, I'm always learning to communicate more effectively. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Who you are is speaking so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying." Always keep yourself in check. Realize that sometimes you're speaking volumes and you're not saying anything, just with your presence. People are drawn to authenticity and vulnerability. Always work on your communication. And then finally, a love that lasts always puts Jesus at the center of everything. Jesus at the center. This is true for every relationship in our lives, from your spouse to your best friend, from your children to those in your Calvary group. If you're going to leave God out of the process that he created, it is always bound to fail. In fact, the Bible says it like this, Psalm 127, verse 1, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the workers or the work of the builders is wasted." Unless the Lord builds your house, your relationship, your church, your small group, unless he's building those things, it's an exercise in futility. In order for relationships to work, let the one who designed them define them. You will see a great difference in how you walk those out. So let's put Jesus at the center of everything. Now, I'm mindful today that in an audience this size, and as well as those that are joining us online, that some of you are seeking some answers. Some of you are going through some very difficult times, but you've yet to put him at the center of your life. And then some of you have already made that decision, but you've pulled away from that center. Today, I'm calling all of those people back. If you need to know Jesus today, then this day, this service, this message has been designed for you. if you knew Jesus and still do, but you're shaken and overwhelmed by the things that you're seeing in the media, and you feel yourself being pulled from that center, then today he's calling you back. Because whenever we walk through crisis, it will always drive us further from him or closer to him. My prayer for you today, that you would draw closer to Jesus. So it'll be my honor today to pray for both of those groups, both those that are seeking but don't know him, and those that knew him but have walked away. I want to pray for both of you today. So whether you're here in the house or whether you're joining us online, would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you today that you are calling all of us to move from standing by to standing up when it comes to loving one another, that we need to love one another better. We need your strength to do it. But it all starts with putting you at the center of our church, our small groups, our friend groups, our family, the center of our lives. And that starts with saying yes to you. So for those of you joining us online or here in the house that have never prayed that prayer, I want you to just pray this simple prayer with me from the depths of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that you came and died on a cross for me, that you were raised from the dead, that you conquered death so that I could live my life. You did it all so that I could know God. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior. Today, I put you at the center of my life. Lord, I also pray for those today who have wandered, who have allowed the things around them, the voices, the events of the day that have overwhelmed us to pull us away from that center. Today, Lord, I know that you're calling us back to press into you in times of crisis. And so, Lord, I pray for each of you today that have wandered, that have pulled away or been overwhelmed, that the comfort and the love of God would fall upon you right now, and that the Holy Spirit would fill you so that as you face these situations, like all of us, that you would walk through them with confidence and faith, knowing that he will protect you and keep you and see you through, and that the hope of heaven will hold you in place because of what Jesus has done for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best to you, Calvary. Have an amazing week. Looking forward to all of you joining us again next Sunday.